Now, every year, the Anti-Defamation League asks people if they've experienced hate or harassment online. This year's survey shows that online harassment is still a problem despite social media companies' recent attempts to crack down. As we're seeing an increase in attacks on Asian Americans, we'll look at the ways that real-world racism and hate can manifest online. We'll also hear what the Anti-Defamation League thinks governments and technology companies could do about the issue. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced or witnessed hate or harassment online? Was it specific to your race or identity? Were you satisfied with solutions available through the social media platform? And what questions do you have about potential solutions to online harassment? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. David Goldenberg is the Midwest Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
What stands out to you, David, as far as the big picture trends when it comes to online harassment and hate?
Well, Rob, as you mentioned earlier, this is the third consecutive year that ADL has conducted our national survey looking at online hate. And what we found overall is that, as you said before too, despite social media companies saying they're cracking down on it, it's not getting done. And we're seeing continued hate and harassment. It's being spread and manifesting across social media. We found across the board that 41% of Americans experienced some type of online harassment. 35% were subjected to offensive name calling. 27%, nearly one in every three, had experienced severe online harassment. And when we looked at it too, we found that nearly half of people were being attacked and harassed online because of their political views. A third of them because of their physical appearance, and 28% of them because of race and ethnicity. This is a plague on our society. It's a plague on social media, and it has to be addressed.
Sometimes I think when people talk about online harassment, there's an idea that, well, that's just online stuff. It's not a real world problem that we need to take as seriously. What would you say to that response to your findings?
I'd say they're wrong. Online and social media and the internet has been used over the last few years, especially as a very important medium for haters to spread their hateful message from extremists, from white supremacists, from even politicians who are spreading conspiracy theories. And we have seen all too often organizing online. We have seen instances where people have become adapted, or I should say people have become influenced by what they're reading and viewing online, and it has helped mold their extremist views, and in many cases they've taken action.
Looking at the demographics of the people who report experiencing online harassment and hate, who seems to be hardest hit in this last year?
Yeah, so what we found is that, as I mentioned, is such a significant portion of people were being attacked by their identity. Asian Americans experienced the largest single rise year over year in severe online hate and harassment, going up from just 11% in 2019 to 17% who reported severe harassment this past year. And fully half of all Asian American respondents who were harassed reported that their harassment was because of their race. We also saw a sharp rise in online harassment of African Americans based on their race from 42% the year before to 59% this past year. And both of those, if you think about it, are layered with the murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and too many other Black individuals at the hands of police officers that we saw last year. And with Asian Americans, we saw it at a time where there was a spike in xenophobia and xenophobia directed toward Asian Americans as a result of them being scapegoated for the spread of COVID.
Talking to David Goldenberg, Midwest Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League. A new report from that organization looks at harassment and hate in the online world and offers potential solutions. And I want to spend some time on potential solutions, David. And let's start with the online platforms themselves, the Facebooks and Twitters and others of the world. What kind of changes do you see them potentially making that you think would put a dent in this problem?
Social media platforms have played an incredibly important role in changing the way that we communicate with one another, getting information, sharing updates about our lives, reconnecting with old friends. But at the same time, they also have these algorithms that are used for marketing purposes, and algorithms that have been used and we have shown and exposed that are being used to spread hate, hateful messages, hate symbols, and conspiracies. Social media platforms can use those same algorithms that they use when you and I search for a new pair of shoes, and we see it in every possible website and app that we look at in the future, just like they use those algorithms to target users from a marketing perspective, they can use it to identify and suppress hate. And we know that they can do it because we've seen it. And we've seen that when social media platforms crack down on hate and conspiracies on their platforms, you see dramatic decreases in the manifestation and the spread of those hateful messages. For example, Facebook finally, after years of critiques by ADL and others, finally took action and pulled down a slew of pages that were spreading QAnon conspiracies. And within 2 weeks of those being pulled, we saw more than 70% decline in the spread of some of those conspiracies. So we know that when you remove them from social media platforms, when you remove these hateful messages, you can have a positive impact on the spread of hate.
I want to key in on those algorithms a little bit, David, because it's not just that somebody puts a hateful thing on a platform. If I go looking for it, I can find it myself. In the report, you talk about the ways in which, you know, once you look at something at all political on either extreme, the way that the platform gets more attention, gets you to keep clicking, is to serve up more and more extreme things, really in some ways highlighting some of the things you're worried about. Can you talk about how that works and how those same algorithms, as you just said, might be used to turn that to make that not happen?
Absolutely. We know that algorithms serve marketing purposes. We as users of social media platforms are ultimately how social media platforms make money. Those advertising, those marketing abilities, and the fact that somebody, they can get a company, can get their advertisement in front of you or me, Rob, or any of your users, is how social media platforms make their money. It's their business model. And in many cases, they are disincentivized by their business model to pull down some of these advertisements or these promoted conspiracies. But what we know, though, is that when you click on something, whether you be watching a video on YouTube or you click on a video of any of your favorite show, let's say, we all then can see those recommended shows that come next are ones that are in the same genre, in the same type of profile of what you just clicked, because they know you've self-identified of being interested in a comedy. So they're going to recommend other comedies. Well, what we found is that the same thing happens with extremists and extreme views. Those algorithms kick in. ADL recently worked with one of our partners through the Center for Technology and Society, which ADL runs. And what we found was that we looked at almost 1,000 YouTube accounts. And we had people click on one video that had some type of extremist ideology, some type of extremist message on it, and they were more than less likely to have in their recommended list of videos another type of extremist related video. And if you clicked on two, it more than tripled those numbers. So what it tells you is that in many ways, when you click on one of these videos, when you click on a link or of what you think is a newspaper article on your social media platform, you often get sent down a rabbit hole. And you've self-identified, I'm interested in this, even if you're not. And what we find even too is that even if you are sharing an article or a meme and condemning it in your post, it still gets in front of more people. And in many ways, the algorithm still kicks in on your profile, and you're going to be more likely to see those types of posts pop up in your social media feeds, in your advertising online as well.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. We have Jim on the line in Darlington. Jim, hi.
Hi. I find that the whole freedom of speech thing is so troubling, isn't it? When you're trying to limit what people can hear and stuff. I get offended virtually every day listening to NPR because I'm, even though I'm not a racist, I am a white male, and I'm portrayed as one constantly, day after day. Now you want to limit my view, but we can have every extreme leftist view on earth is fine. You don't seem to get, they don't ever seem to get taken off.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. So Jim's saying he doesn't want to see people's free speech limited online. He's worried if Facebook, say, is dropping conspiracy theory groups, they might also get political groups that he is in support of. They might be taking them offline, too.
So Jim's asking, and Jim's touching on a really important issue, right? So where does the First Amendment fit in all of this? And one of the things that makes America great is that people can stand from their rooftops and shout out views that we can't stand. But that's what makes our country great. But what becomes really important here in this particular conversation to understand is that social media platforms are private companies. They're private entities. They're not public. They're not units of government. They're not public spaces. They are private companies. Their platform itself is a private company. And they have the ability to suppress hateful messages and conspiracies and false and misleading information and extremist views that we know that are inciting hate, and inciting hate not with an S, but inciting hate with a C. And you know, those user agreements that we all click on quickly whenever we open up a new social media platform, there are certain agreements that we commit to as to how we're going to use their platform and what type of behavior is permissible on their platform. So a social media company could very easily write into their user profiles that it's not, that their platform is not going to be used to spread false and misleading information, known conspiracies, extremist hateful views that are used to incite people. And when individuals violate those user agreements, which we willingly enter into, then they have the authority and standing to say, no, you cannot use my platform in this particular way. We know that social media platforms are being used to spread hate. We know that they're also being used by extremists to organize. We know that Kyle Rittenhouse, the shooter down in Kenosha during the protests of the shooting of Jacob Blake, we know that he was organized through a Facebook meetup group that then ultimately brought him across the border from Illinois to Wisconsin, that led him ultimately to shoot two innocent protesters. We know that social media platforms were used to organize insurrection of the Capitol prior to and even during January, the insurrection on January 6th, where people were live streaming themselves inside the Capitol, and they were getting instructions on how to move from one room to another room to find the floor of the Senate or the floor of the House, for example. Social media platforms can say, absolutely not, we will not allow our platform to be used. And the question just is not, it's not a question of can they, it's a question of will they.
We're talking to David Goldenberg, Midwest Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League. We're looking at the results of the 2021 Online Hate and Harassment Survey and possible solutions to the problem. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How would you like to see government or technology companies work to stop online harassment? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with David Goldenberg of the Anti-Defamation League. Their 2021 survey of online harassment is out. We're finding out who's hit hardest by online threats and intimidation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Staying with the online platforms and what they can do, David, another recommendation in the report has to do with their policy when somebody reports to them hate or harassment or other troubling activity. What do we see in how those complaints, those concerns are handled?
Well, ADL has some recommendations in our report, but we also, a few months ago, we had put out what we call a report card of how well social media platforms respond to complaints of hate and harassment. And we found the one platform that we gave, no one got an A. The one platform that got a B was Twitch, but we had Facebook and Discord and a number of others that we gave Ds to. TikTok and YouTube ultimately received, and Twitter ultimately received Cs. But we find that in general, when you write or file a complaint with these social media platforms, number one, it's virtually impossible to get a real person who will work with you. And second of all, it takes extremely long times for them to be responsive. And ultimately, that the notification that they provide to you or to the individual with specificity as to why you've been removed or why a post has been taken down virtually doesn't exist. I mean, of the 9 platforms, that we looked at, only 4 of them respond within 24 hours. And other issues, things like Holocaust denial, only 2 of them actually take action against that. And so there are those types of things that are real factual events that social media companies know you have conspiracies being spread around about them on their platforms, and they're just not doing enough about it.
Another recommendation has to do with police training. And I've seen over the years, people share accounts of when they've been receiving actual threats of violence that may end up being criminal. They go to a police department, and understandably, a police agency might not know how to handle this thing. It's a threat from someone somewhere, not in their jurisdiction even. What kind of things would you like to see change there?
It's a really hard thing for law enforcement in many ways because of, number one, the anonymity that exists on the internet, and number two, because of departments that don't have as many resources or skilled professionals who know how to deal with these types of issues. Often, even in some of the largest departments, whether it be Milwaukee or Madison or Green Bay or even larger departments of some of the largest ones in the country, they don't have people on staff who are adequately trained, or they don't have enough resources to deal with it. And so you get into smaller cities and smaller jurisdictions, they absolutely don't necessarily know how to do it. So ADL, one of the things that we are doing is going around the country and offering what we call hate crimes training for law enforcement. Now, not all states have adequate hate crimes laws in place as it relates to cyber hate. And that is a big part of ADL's legislative initiatives over the course of the next few years, is that we would like to see states have adequate laws on the books that give law enforcement and prosecutors the ability to go after people who are harassing and threatening others online. So just like we have hate crimes laws in Wisconsin and around the country and 46 other states, we want to make sure that we have cyber hate laws on the books too, so that those who are threatening and those who are harassing others online can ultimately be held accountable.
In our last minute or two, I think a lot of times people who are online might see this happening, someone harassing someone else. Do you have thoughts for online bystanders and the role they can play?
I think the most important thing is there's 3 things. Number one, you got to speak up. You got to say something about it and not allow hate or threats to go by unanswered. Number two, you have to share facts. When you see false information, misleading information, conspiracies that ultimately are being pushed by your friends, by your family members, or others just on social media, you have to respond by sharing facts and responding to them with facts. And lastly, showing strength. It's really important when communities are threatened, when communities are attacked, when individuals are attacked, that we all come together to say, this is unacceptable. We're not going to allow this platform to be a place for hate. We're not going to allow you to spread your hateful messages, because that ultimately is how we're going to be able to take and push these extremists and these haters back into the hole from which they came.
And very briefly, David, do you see these issues being taken more seriously, maybe since the beginning of this year even?
Absolutely. People are seeing and realizing the real life impact of online hate and online organizing of extremists and the impact they can have in real life examples. We know, for example, that the shooters in some of the most extreme and horrific hate-driven attacks, things like the Tree of Life synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh, the shooting in Poway, the AME church in Charleston, Christchurch Mosque in New Zealand, none of those shooters were card-carrying members of extremist groups. Instead, they were people who were inspired online through hateful messages and ideologies and symbols, who then ultimately made a decision to take action where they went and committed mass murders, targeting people because of their religion and their identities. But they were greatly inspired and had direct ties and strong profiles online in these extremist chat rooms. And so we know in those cases that people can be inspired online to take real life action that has incredibly dramatic and sometimes violent and worse outcomes.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to David Goldenberg from the Anti-Defamation League, looking at a survey on online harassment.